I'm so blessed to be in a group of believers like I have here. Thank you so much. What a blessing to be with folks who follow the Lord with all their heart. That's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. And as we do that, we've been looking a little bit at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and on into chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. ...of Jesus in this congregation. Chapter 3, verse 18, 2 Corinthians says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, changed," the King James says, "into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." 2 weeks ago, as I spoke to you about serving, as about reflecting this character of Jesus, be the opportunity to let the Holy Spirit shine through you, to allow His light to shine through you, and then call me, remember? I got some calls. Fortunately, my cell phone bill didn't go away over, but I got some calls, some very interesting calls about Lord is blessing. They'll work on it. They'll get it. We go through some of the phone calls that I got. And so we want to look at those as we look at further into this study this week. Read with me chapter 4 and verse 5. Read with me chapter 4 and verse 5. "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." This work is not about us. This is not about us getting glorious or being cool or looking good or any of that that's about us. That's not what this is about. Jesus, as He talked with us, told us the same sort of thing. I think you can recall some of what Jesus said when He said the focus is not about us. Jesus talked about that. In fact, Matthew 16:24 says, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny,'" right? "Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." As we are thinking about what Paul says today, that this is not about us, that we do not preach ourselves, these words of Jesus come home to us, that we are to deny ourselves. That's a little tough, isn't it? That's asking a little too much, don't you think? I mean, after all, in today's society, denying of ourselves is, well, that's not today, is it? That's not what we're all about today. Everything you see on television is all about gratifying ourselves. And if you can't gratify yourself right now, there's a store out there that sells it. There's somebody somewhere that'll sell that to you. Don't worry. Just look on the internet. You'll find it. Somebody's got it out there. There's no need to deny self today, the world tells us. No need. It's preach yourself day. It's all about me. That's the way the world looks at it, but not Paul. He said, we do not preach ourselves. In fact, Jesus practiced it too. He says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own, Jesus said. I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus was all about this self-denial. And we, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, are called to not preach ourselves. Sometimes that might mean not getting credit. That's kind of tough, isn't it? Hey, I worked for that. That's my work right there. Who do you think you are to take credit for that? I'm the one who did that. That's today. That's what the world teaches. Well, that's not what Paul and Jesus taught. Paul had a golden opportunity to preach himself. Man, what we could have done with this opportunity given to us today. Let's take a look. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Perhaps you remember the story. Acts chapter 14. Paul came into town, was preaching there in town. Verse 8, beginning with verse 8. Acts chapter 14, beginning with verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Paul didn't just mince words, hey, psst, get up, get up, hey. Rise up and walk. Yes, just like that. Rise up, stand up straight on your feet, he said. And he leaped and walked. I love that whole leaping thing. Do you notice that? It's awesome. Because it's the change from ho-hum to, woo, this is God I'm dealing with here. What an awesome deal. What an awesome deal. And check out what happened then. Verse 11. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycian language, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes. Hey, wait a minute. I'm sure Paul said, I'm Zeus, you know? What's the deal here? He's Zeus, he didn't do nothing. Because he was the chief speaker. Okay. Verse 13, then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front. Can you see the scene here? All these guys start yelling and screaming and carrying on one among the other, and people start running around when Paul heals this guy, right? People are yelling and screaming. Paul has no clue. They're just saying stuff. He doesn't know because it's not in his language, not in any of the languages he knows. So they're all running around, right? And then, verse 13, then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gate, intending to do what? To sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Saul and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out. What were they crying out? Dudes, you got it right, finally. I'm the guy. Yeah. This is what it's all about. Bring it on. I'm ready. Put that ox over there. That one's mine. Is that what he said? Verse 15. And saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God. That's what it's all about. Turning from these useless things to the living God. That's what it's all about. And Paul didn't mince words about this. This was not about him. and he didn't mind saying so. This was not about him. And he tells us to do the same thing. How about you and I? How about you and I? Where are we in this? Do people sometimes get confused about who we're preaching? Is it us sometimes? Hey, this is about me. Hurt. That was my turn. Well, that never happens to you. Nobody ever cuts you off in traffic, right? And you never get upset about it when it happens, right? Yeah. How about you and I? How do we deal with this? How is it in your life? What would happen to you if somebody were to, like, talk to you in Walmart or something? Who would you preach? Flo, who would you preach? Amen. Go ahead. I don't know. Are we up there? Let's see what we got. Yeah. All right.
Don and I were in Walmart just a few weeks ago. It was right it was just before Pastor preached that, because this was on Friday night. And it was not long before sunset. And we went into Walmart, into the pharmacy, and we were in the back of the line, and we looked up there and we said, there's Pastor and Patty. They were in the front of the line. Well, our granddaughter works in the pharmacy, and there was a lady standing beside me, and it was quite a long line. And I called out, I said, Don, introduce Kimberly to Pastor and Patty. I wanted them to meet her because they'd been praying for her. Well, that in turn opened up a conversation between this lady and I. She began to tell me all about her problems, and I listened, and every now and then I could say something about Christ. Amen. And you know, and she was telling me about all her problems with cancer, losing family members to cancer, and now she was sick herself. And I was able to talk to her and witness to her about Christ's love and about how we can depend on Him. And when things get tough, we can always look up.
Amen. Beautiful. All right. This is how we allow God to work in us, to reflect that glory of Christ as we go through our lives, even in the line at Walmart. We allow Christ to work through us. And in fact, that's part of the next part of the verse, chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians, verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We preach Christ Jesus. We give Him the glory. That's what Jesus said to do as well. John chapter 12, verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me, Jesus said. If I be lifted up, our work is to lift Jesus up from the earth, to tell the world what a beautiful Savior we serve, what an awesome God He is. This is what Jesus is all about. And Paul himself practiced this. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Do you remember what was happening in Acts chapter 9? Acts chapter 9. Paul was still Saul. He was still just learning about Jesus. He had just met Ananias in chapter 9. And he'd been baptized. Let's pick it up in verse 18. Immediately there fell from his eyes, from Paul's eyes, something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So Saul was there. He was baptized. He learned about the Lord. He had learned about Jesus. And then what does it say? Verse 20, immediately he preached what? The Christ. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Right away, you couldn't hold him back. He was in love with his Lord. He wanted to tell everyone about his Lord, about his God. Paul immediately went out and preached Christ. What an opportunity. What a thing that he did, preaching Christ immediately. And in our scripture reading for today, chapter 18 in the book of Acts. Chapter 18 in the book of Acts. You remember, Paul had gone to Corinth. He was telling the Corinthians about Jesus, but you know, Paul wasn't having really good luck there because the Corinthians were a very idolatrous people. And Paul was kind of wondering, wow, what should I do? This is really hard work. They don't want to hear me. There's so much more on their mind. They've got business. They've got pleasure. They've got their own things going on. Wait a minute. That sort of sounds, well, kind of like Lakeland. Yeah. Real busy with their own life. And verse 5, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Wow. Paul was compelled by the Spirit. Oh, my people, let the Spirit compel you. Let God's Spirit work through you, driving you to do His will. Allow God to work through you to tell about Jesus being the Christ. What an awesome opportunity is ours to tell the world, to give them the message, to be compelled to tell them that Jesus is the Christ. So, what about you? What about you and I today? Where are we? Do we do this today? Do we find these opportunities to preach Christ? Because you know, there really isn't a middle ground, is there? Either we're preaching ourselves or we're preaching Christ. One or the other, isn't it true? That's the way it seems to be with us. I want to continue to have you look for opportunities. Opportunities for the Lord to work in and through your life. Kind of like the opportunities Julius felt compelled to do. Julius, tell us your story. How did the Lord lead you? Food pantry, please stand as he's giving this testimony. Those of you who work there, amen, look at this. People who work for God. Amen. 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 What would Jesus do? Wow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. What an opportunity to serve on your behalf to the folks who come week by week seeking a blessing. And God is moving. God is doing things right here in Lakeland. God is making things happen because God has much people in this city. He has a work for us to do. And so, as alluded to there, the last part of chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians in verse 5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." And, he says, not only do we not preach us, we preach Jesus, but beyond that, he says. Well, beyond that, come on. Isn't that enough that I preach Jesus? What else do you want? What else do I need to do? Where else do I need to go? Man, that's asking a little much, isn't it? Take a look. "And ourselves," it says, "your," what is the word? Bond servants for Jesus' sake. I went back, you know, they trained me in all that Greek stuff, you know? So I went back and I looked at the Greek and I did a deep theological study. Oh, yeah. Deep theological study on this word. It means slave. Well, that was pretty deep, wasn't it? That's what it is. That's what it means. Bondservant, slave. But slave is a tough word to get our heads around today. That's not one we like. It's not one that's comfortable. It's not politically correct. Is it? It's an ugly word. Why would Paul use this word? Why would Paul, wasn't it enough to say that we preach Jesus? What else do we need to do? You mean we're like on duty 24/7? That we're to be servants all the time? That we're on call forever? No breaks? No vacations? What about my cruise? Wow. Jesus is calling us to serve on His behalf. Because we're the servants for others for Jesus' sake. We are here to serve. That's what we're here for. We're not here to gratify self. We're not here to talk about self. We're not here to preach ourselves. We're here to preach Jesus Christ and serve others. That's what it's all about. And that's what we see again as we look back at 2 Corinthians 3:18. "For we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." That's what we're showing. The way that Jesus was is the way we are to be. That's what we're all about. "Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we are being changed." Changed, brothers and sisters, into the image of Jesus. We're to look like Him, to act like Him, to be like Him. Did Jesus say, whoa, no more healings today, thank you. I'm off the clock now, thank you. What? Is that what Jesus did? Even when He tried crossing the lake there to get to the other side, to get a little rest, to get a little time off, when people came, He was on. He was for them. He loved them. He cared for them. He did for them. Even when he was dog tired, hadn't eaten, hadn't slept, and had to deal with disciples who did not understand that he was the king even of the weather. How long do I have to deal with this? How long has God given you breath? Right? That's what it's all about. That's how long we're to deal with this. That's how long we're to serve. That's how long we're on duty. We're God's servants wherever we are. You know how many times I go places and I like, I know it's hard to believe, but I didn't shave. And I didn't have my suit on. I know that's hard to believe. I know you think I probably sleep in it, but, you know, I don't. Well, not always. There are people everywhere you go that go, oh, hi, Pastor. And it's like, uh-oh. Hi. Sorry I don't look the part. Right? And even though you think of yourself as not the guy who stands up here, you're still a minister for the Lord. You're still God's servant. You are still somebody else's pastor, if you will, because you have been called to minister. And so, you're on wherever you go, whether you're shaved or not. You're on. God is calling you to represent Him, to be that reflection of Him to the world, wherever you go, whatever time of day, whatever you're dressed in, always reflecting Him, because we are His servants. Carol, tell us your story, please.
From a mother's heart and a grandmother's heart, pray for me. Many of you know that my daughter and her husband couldn't have a child. So finally she said, after they had tried everything, said, okay, God, if this isn't your will, then just take the desire away. Mm. Well, they got pregnant. And the 17th week of their pregnancy, they went to find out the sex of the baby. And she said to her husband before they went in, Jean, I just want to thank God for this minute because I'm so happy right now. But I know it could all change in a moment. She was a nurse in the intensive care unit for children for 5 years. And she's a nurse anesthetist now. Well, they went and had the ultrasound, and I got a call at work. And she said, Mom, what do you want to hear first, the good news or the bad news? I said, there's bad news? And she said, yeah, there is. I said, well, tell me the good news. And she said, it's a boy. I said, well, congratulations. I said, now what's the rest of the story? And she said, he has a birth defect. It's a congenital diaphragmatic hernia. And what that means is the hernia separates the chest cavity from the abdominal cavity. And it had a hole in it. And his intestines and stomach had all moved up into the chest cavity. And the problem these babies have is that there's not always room for the lungs to develop. And as she's telling me this, you know, my mind started whirling, but the Holy Spirit kept saying, be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
And so we've just clung to that. And so many of you have had such a part in this journey as you have prayed with us. And on October 1st, Andrew was born at 9 pounds, 4 ounces. And that was a miracle in itself because most of these babies are small. And he was put on a ventilator right away, which we knew would happen. She didn't get to hear his first cry, but he was immediately intubated and taken to the newborn intensive care unit. And he wasn't doing real well there. So they said they were going to have to put him on ECMO, which is the heart-lung machine. And so they did that, and we all got to see him, and he was so adorable. But
she has pictures.
I do. But every day, God performed one miracle after another, and Amen. He still is performing one miracle after another. The day of Andrew's birth, Becky said, was the worst day of her life. The pediatric, they told her that not only did Andrew have this CDH defect, he also had a coarctation of the aorta. He had a heart defect. And they said both cases were the severest that they had ever seen. And no one at Duke University Hospital, no child had ever been born with both defects. So they told Becky and Jean, the cardiac surgeon said, you have three choices. I'm giving you three options. Number one, let him go. Number two, we can do surgery today, but he's not strong enough and he's not going to make it. Number three, we can put him on ECMO, which is the heart-lung machine, for a few days and give it a try. He left. The pediatric surgeon came in. He was the surgeon that was going to do the abdominal repair, get everything back down where it belongs. He told them, you have three options. He said the same thing. So Becky and Jean, of course, were devastated. And they said, two of those weren't options. They only had one option, and that was to put him on the heart-lung machine and to trust God. So they did that, and he was on the heart-lung machine, and they let us in to see him, you know, two at a time. And as I went in there, I'm looking at him and praying for him and singing to him and quoting scripture to him. I know his first words aren't going to be mama or dada. It's going to be a Bible verse. But there's two babies in this room, and the little baby next to him is a little girl, and her mom was standing over her. And as I was praying for Andrew, I finished praying, and I looked up and saw her back. And it said, the Jesus team. Let the beginning be completed. Let the glory be God's.
Amen.
And I said, amen. The beginning is completed. He's on ECMO. Okay? The beginning is starting. This is one step toward completion. That was Thursday. Monday they came in, told Becky, Andrew doesn't meet criteria for surgery. It doesn't look like he's going to make it. He doesn't qualify right now. We got the prayer team going, as we did from the moment he was born. We got the circle of prayer. We have so many prayer warriors out there. They have a blog, babyandrewhobbs.blogspot.com. If you hook onto it, it is such a spiritual journey for so many people. Well, we got on our knees. We got before the very throne of God. And the next day, he met all the criteria for surgery.
Amen.
They said they would do the heart defect first, and then later go and do the other repair. They would have the pediatric surgeon come in at the end and look and see so he could get an idea of what was going on. And so Wednesday, October 8th, he went into surgery, 1 week old. No, not even, yeah, 7 days old. I guess, I don't know what day it was anyway. It was October 7th. And we got, you know, they would send someone out and keep us up to date. And Jean and Becky both work at Duke, so they were getting emails all the time from what was happening, where they were in the surgery. In 2 hours, we got an email. The abdominal repair was completed.
Wow. That
was by the cardiac surgeon. They had Amen. A graft made, a new diaphragm. 2 hours later, the heart defect was completed.
Amen.
He did better than anyone expected. The cardiac surgeon's attitude changed from hopeless to hopeful.
Amen.
The next day he said he had exceeded all of their expectations. It's a roller coaster ride with these kids, and things can change from minute to minute, and they have. And one day I was sitting out in the waiting room, and they said his abdomen was getting bigger. They feared he was bleeding internally, and I started crying, and I picked up my Bible, and I'm reading my Bible, and this lady sitting behind me says, what's your baby's name? And I said, Andrew. She picks up her telephone and says, calls all these people and says, we have a baby here that needs prayer. His name is Andrew. And the prayer warriors went to work. my sister works in an office. She says, Carol, this is not a Christian office at all, but you can't imagine how Andrew has changed these girls' lives.
Amen.
She said, people are talking to God that haven't talked to God in a long time. They are praying on Andrew's behalf. They are reading the blog. They are seeing the scripture being quoted. They are seeing the power of God at work in this baby's life.
Amen.
Andrew is 17 days old today, and he is a living testimony of the power of God.
Amen.
And I just thank you. When you say that's all you can do is pray, you are going before the very throne of God, the Creator, the breath of life, and our prayer is that he breathes that breath of life, continues to breathe it and strengthen it into Andrew's lungs. This morning I talked to Becky, and it was a rough night for Andrew. They did get him off ECMO for 1 hour, which is the heart-lung machine. And the good news is other mothers with CDH kids have written on the blog, and they said, you know, it took 4 or 5 times before their child was able to get off this blog. But they were able to get off. So he tried for 1 hour and then had to go back on it. He's starting to swell up a little bit, and they do that when they're on this machine. So last night they started giving him medicine to get the swelling down, because to get him off, they have to have him what they call as dry as possible. So they're doing this, and his blood pressure dropped during the night, so they had to go back on off of the medicine. So he needs to get some of the fluid off his body. This happened a week ago. No urine output, and then all of a sudden God opened up his kidneys, and they started to pour. So our prayer is that he do this again. Through this all, he has taught me. I had a friend write, this has been such a spiritual journey for me, Carol. I have never been able to pray so boldly before, and God is opening up so many doors, and I'm seeing so many things. People that I work with, visitors while I was up there, were stopping in the nursing office and starting to pray for him right there.
Wow.
He got a card from the Heavenly Mafia, which a church member here has. Patty has that group. And Becky and Jean were so touched at all the people that are going before God on Andrew's and their behalf. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because your prayers do make such a difference as we stand. And I'm at the point now where it's another one of those days where God is telling me, be still and know that I am God. And he confirmed it through the praise team when that was one of the prayer songs. So I know that God's timing is always perfect.
Amen.
Always has been, always will be. And I just thank you for your prayers. I thank you for the testimony that Andrew's life has been. I thank him for these 17 days. And I just praise him for the work that he is going to do.
Amen. God is busy. God is active. God has much people in this city. And he has you here as his representative. Like we hear from Flo and Julius and Carol, God is active, and God wants you to be a part of what he's doing right here in Lakeland. I want you to take your bulletin, please. Pick up your bulletin. Hopefully yours is the way it normally comes, like this. And if you turn it over, you will find on the back, at the bottom, it says, I'm interested in the following. Are you with me? I'm interested in the following. And there's a bunch of things there that you can check. I want you to check the ones that are applicable to you. But I'm hopeful that you might even write one in. Because you see, we're planning a citywide outreach to Lakeland right here in April. But we're not planning it for April like, okay, we sit around from now until April. It starts now. It starts here. It starts with you. And so I want you to put on there how you can help out with that effort. How you can help out with what God is doing here in Lakeland. I want to hear a bunch of bulletins tearing just now as you're taking that section out. Come on, I need to hear bulletins. I need to hear bulletins as you're peeling off what you're going to do for the Lord. This is your opportunity to say so, to step out, to preach Christ and not yourself, to be the bondservant for Christ's sake. Put your name there. Check what you would like to do, how you can help. Say, I'm available if you don't know what to do. I can pray if you can pray. Put in there, I would like to work with Pathfinders. I would like to work with the community service. I can help out with prison ministries. I can help out with advertising. However the Lord is leading, now's the time to find your place that you can actually be a part of God's work. Each one of you has a place in the work of God. And so put a little check mark there beside one of those. Write in your own. If there's something else you would like to do, tear it out. Put your name on it. And then hand it to me as we leave today. You see, I'm very serious about putting skin on love. I'm not just here to preach a flowery sermon so that you can get done today and go, nice sermon, Pastor. I want skin on the love that we are having as Christians. I want skin on the moving of the Holy Spirit that He is working through us right here, right now, in this place. God moving in Lakeland, and He has your skin on it. You are what make this happen. You are what really is the Word of God in action here. We are Jesus' feet and hands, as you have heard. We are the ones who are the servants for Christ's sake. And this is more than just assenting to the truth. If we're going to be God's people, we need to be God's truth. We need to be the love of God in action.